In Psalm chapter 139, I'm going to read to you this morning just a little bit. We're going to stop just for a moment on what happens during insecurity, and then we're going to figure out how do we cure it. And I'm going to move along a little bit quickly this morning because I want to wrap up how we cure insecurity today, and I don't think it should be too very difficult to get through that. But I want to move as quickly as possible. So if we could start with a word of prayer, then we will go ahead and move on from there. Brother Bob, would you lead us in prayer this morning, please?
Dear Lord, we do thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, I pray that you prepare our hearts for what you have given Dave, Lord, to give to us. Lord, I just pray to be with him, Lord. Holy Spirit, fill him with your power, Lord, yes. And your words. And Lord, just help us pay attention and apply the things we hear to our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We've learned that insecurity comes from the fear of losing something that we have. It comes from a position that we believe in our hearts that we are striving to make people like us, striving to make people think that we have standing in their eyes, striving to hold on to the things in this world. And we've gone over painstakingly almost how much temporal the things that we have in this world really are. Even our friendships, even our relationships, they're all temporal. These things can go away in a moment. We can lose the things that we have. A perfect example is Brother Don Cox that has gone on into eternity. They say he's a saved man, but he's no longer on this earth. I guarantee you the moment that he was on that couch and his abdominal aneurysm occurred, I'm sure that in the back of his mind it was not that he was not going to be walking this earth anymore. So even his life on this earth is completely temporal. Your life on this earth is completely temporal. When does depression set in? Well, depression that comes from insecurity is very simply this. When the things that you hold on to or the things that you do to make yourself seem secure to folks, and I again went over last week about how you need to be who you are. If we try to be somebody that we're not, that is coming from an insecure feeling. You try to be a Christian in front of people and you're really not a Christian, or you're really not somebody that desires to live a good life, you're not somebody that desires to do things for Christ, specifically for the sake of doing them for Christ. If you do something to impress somebody else, that's coming from insecurity. Here's where depression sets in. Depression sets in on insecurity when you come to the realization that everything you're doing is still not enough. That way you realize that you do not have enough to offer folks to make them think that you are a good person. I gave you 3 steps last week. You need to hear these steps because you need to come to a realization of something that will help us to cure the problem of insecurity. Number one, you are worse than you think you are. Now, insecure people usually deal in the realm of I'm not good. Oh, they try to be good. They try to show off as good in front of folks, but they realize in their heart that they're not very good. Let me take you one step further. You're worse than you think you are because you are a dirty, rotten sinner. No good. Number 2, Christ loves you anyhow. So you've got to realize that, yes, you are dirty. Yes, you are a sinner. Yes, you are rotten. That's why the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Glory to God. Preacher's not going to get to heaven before you are. Not in God's eyes. Now, he may get there quicker because something happens to him, but he's not going to get there quicker than you. When a rapture happens, we're all going to go up together. Doesn't matter who the fattest is, gravity will have no hold on you. When the Lord calls you up, you're going up. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, I didn't say 2 twinkles for Brother Dave. It said a twinkling of an eye. Wham, we're gone. Glory to God. Amen. I cannot wait for that day. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Nobody's better than anybody else. I would to God in America we'd realize that. But that's where insecurity comes in, because you look at preacher and you say, well, preacher's a godly, spiritual man. I would to God I was godly and as spiritual as him. Listen to me. Listen to me. He's a dirty sinner. You can say what you want to say. He's a dirty sinner. He knows it. That will get you closer to God than anything else. Coming to the realization that you're undone. Coming to the realization that you're no good. Coming to the realization that you need Christ. That's how we get saved. We realize we're lost. That will give you, hey, you can be secure in this very thing, Brother Bevington. You can be secure in the fact that you're a sinner. You can be secure in the fact that God loves you anyhow. You can be secure in the fact that you can't fix it, but God can. So we get into a depression of insecurity because we realize that the things that we have really can't be with us all the time. We can't bank on the fact that we've got our money. I've talked to several folks in the union. You know how I feel about the union. I don't care a lick stitch about them right now. I used to be in the union. Get mad at me all you want to, but I used to be in the union. I understand how it works. And there was a day when union was very important. Don't misread me. There was a day that union served the people. Union serves its own lust now. Get mad at me all you want to. That's the truth. But here's what happens. I talked to the men in the union. I asked them about their pensions. Bobby Shell's going through this right now, that their pensions are changing drastically. They're drastically changing in so much as they're saying, well, we used to give you this. Now this is what you're getting. It's going away. Let me ask you a question. This ought to make you feel good and secure, you pension holders. And I'm not doing this to make, I'm just doing this to make you think about the society we live in today. What happens if somebody comes to you tomorrow and says your pension's no longer valid? You gonna seek out a lawyer? You gonna go to your union rep? You know what you're gonna do? Nothing. What's gonna happen when they say, well, your paper money is now no good? Oh, we got a hold. My money, my bank account, FDIC insured. What if FDIC says you're no longer insured? You got to understand something. Nothing in this world we can hold on to. Nothing in this world we can hold on to. Don't put your rest and your faith and your hope in the things that you have. Don't put your faith and your hope in the things that we possess, because all those things can be taken away. So when in the world do we realize that we are insecure? When in the world do we realize that we need Christ? And how do we get over being insecure? That faint nervousness that you have in your heart on a constant basis. That worry and those worry lines that you get and that furrowed brow that you receive after an all-night staying up worrying about your finances. And I'm with you. I know all about it. That worry that your loved one is going to be hurt, or that worry that you, the family that you're holding on to, the worry that your path is not secure, your worry that, man, your next step could be a fatal one, your worry about all these things. How do we get over this? How do we get over this world being so very temporal? I want you to read with me Psalm 138. Let's all stand as we read the Word of God. There are four ways to cure insecurity. In Psalm 139, the Bible says, starting in verse 11. Actually, let's start in verse 10. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Let's pray. Dear Lord, please help us to get rid of the butterflies in our stomach. Help us to get rid of the depression that sets in naturally when we're worried about things that we really have no control over. Lord, help us to realize that we are who we are, to lay hold on who we are, and after doing that, lay hold on who you are. Lord, be with us in a special way today. Anoint me, Lord. I need you. I have nothing to offer. It's got to be all you. Lord, please help us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We use these verses to combat abortionists, murderers, and I mean that in every sense of the word. But I want to think about this in a little bit different way today. when you're dealing with insecurity. The first stop you have to make when you're dealing with insecurity is the fact that God has a purpose for you. Let me say that again. God has a purpose for you. Now wait, that should make you feel awfully good. Because if you look in the Scripture, they call Him the King of Kings. If you look in the Scripture, they call Him the Lord of Lords. If you look in the Scripture, they call Him the Prince of Peace, the Almighty God. They call Him the Great Redeemer, the Savior of all men. They call Him greatness, and we know He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. We know all those things. And God looks down and says, I've got a purpose for Dreama. If you look in these Scriptures, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Why? Why are you fearfully and wonderfully made, Kativer? Because God has a purpose for you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Why did He take so much time to make every one of us different? Think about that for a moment. You have the Freimeyer kid twins stand up next to each other. They look a lot alike. They're identical. You look at the Mercado girls. Used to be Mercado girls, and one's going to change very soon. You look at those two girls right next to each other. They're twins, but they're not the same. They're not the same because God has a purpose for their life. I don't know about you, but realizing that the King of Kings has called upon me to do something for Him puts my chest straight out. I don't know about you, but realizing that God has something special planned for me, realizing that God formed me, He possessed my reins, He made me who I am. That naturally brings me to the question, Darlene. If He's made you who you are, why would we want to be somebody we're not? Well, that preaches right there, brother. Thank God. I thank you for that, Brother Dave, because I was worried that I got to be something special to come to church. I got news for you. You're already something special. Oh, we throw around special because we give blue ribbons to kids that don't earn them. I'm not talking about that kind of special. I'm talking about your special to the King of Kings. You have got a job to do that has been commissioned by the King. Why would we sulk? Why would we be downtrodden? Why would we worry about being insecure? Because I got news for you. There's one thing that's very, very secure, and that is the King has made you. No, you got to understand something. It's better than just, amen on that. I knew that, Brother Dave. Oh, no, it's better than that. Have you ever thought for one moment all the things that Christ went through to bring you into this world? I believe God had to sit and think for a while to make Mark Thompson. Come on now. I believe God put my plans on the drawing board and took them off several times. Man, I would to God, I would. It repented God that He had made Dave. But understand this, He made me. He made me who I am. He made me what I am. I guess I'll just stay with what God did. Now listen, that does not give you free pass to sin. Oh, no, I got lots of people. Listen, Brother Dave, I'm a sinner. I'm just going to go ahead and cash in on that policy. God did not want you to sin. That's why He gave you a life book manual. He gave us lively oracles. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, and sometimes God fears what you do. But I got to be honest with you, man. You are somebody to God because you are unique. Isn't it amazing that everybody on this planet does not have the same DNA? Nobody does. Isn't it amazing that all of us have different fingerprints, different iris, or whatever that is in your eyes are all different? Everything about you is different than somebody else. There's not another Brian Stevens. There's not another Dave Ballard. We're all saying amen. But you got to understand something. God took time enough to make you who you are. You should be saying, woohoo, this morning, because there's nobody else just like you. That should get you out of your insecurity. One thing you can be secure of, there's nobody else like you. Go over to Hebrews 13:5. Not only do you have to understand the purpose of God, that God has a plan for you, and understand everybody's plan is different. He's called me to teach adult Sunday school class, be the associate pastor, principal. He He's got a job for me. He's got a job for you. It may not be associate pastor of this church. It may not be a preacher. But he's got a job for you. We got to realize what that purpose is and seek it out. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 5. Let your conversation, that's your lifestyle, that's your conversation that people hear without words. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will. Well, wait a minute now. Not only did he make you who you are, he gave you somebody that would be with you all the time. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Good Lord, have mercy. It doesn't matter where you are. The most vile, wicked drunkard, the Lord's with him. Come on now. He's not just with the people that are doing good. There's none good, no, not one. No, wait a minute. You mean he's with the murderer? I would hope so. He was with David. You mean he's with the person that's an adulterer? I would hope so. He was with David. He was with the person that would kill a Christian? Oh, he can't be godly. He's a Christian killer. Do you think he was with Paul? Listen to me. We're walking around in this day and age all moping. It ain't no wonder that nobody wants to come to church. The Christians are walking around with their frowns so bad, so deep in depression. Well, glory to God, the economy's failing. I don't think God cares about the economy. I'm just going to be honest with you. I think God has all kind of handle on money. God's economy is relevant in the school. Well, glory to God, our Christian school is going to fall apart this year. We got 74 kids now. God apparently is unconcerned about the economy. I imagine he just wants you to trust in him. Is this reaching home with anybody today? You got to understand the promises of God. When you're in your deepest and darkest depression, when you're worried about being so insecure that you can't even think, you can't even walk out of bed, well, I'm so worried that Brother Dave might think less of me. Consider the promises of the one that fearfully and wonderfully made you. He will never leave you, never forsake you. Don't worry about what Pastor Dave thinks. Worry about what your Savior thinks. Yeah. Get out of your insecurity. You've got a king that walks with you. Yeah. You've got somebody that loves you, that's thicker clothing than a brother. You got somebody that loves you today and walks with you. How in the world can we be so wrapped up in Prozac? How can we be so wrapped up in those things when you've got a king that loves you? Yes. You've got a king that cares. You remember the promise of God. He promises you. He will never leave you nor forsake. I got to be honest with you. And I know he's here, but this is a great point, and I don't care. He can beat me up in a parking lot afterwards. I watched Brother Carl McDaniel, one of my favorite people. Brother Carl McDaniel, in the passing of one of the most fabulous Christian ladies I've ever seen in my entire life. Mary, so faithful, so wonderful. God should have kept her on this earth till she's 150. But God saw fit to take her home. I never saw anybody cling to the promise of God more than Carl McDaniel. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I watched Brother Carl at the bedside of his wonderful wife, smiling, praising God, realizing that soon she would be in heaven. And he clung to the promises of a king. Yeah. That's a difficult time, and I want you to hear this. Why? Those are difficult times, nigh impossible. I don't know what I'd do if I'd lose my wife. I don't know. But I got to believe that the only way that Brother Carl was able to do what he did, and he's a sinner. He's a sinner. I understand. I'm not trying to hold him up like he's something great, but he is something great. Yes. He had better have come to the grips with the fact that the Lord was with him years and years and years ago. He had better grabbed on to the Lord a long time before this happened to be able to stand as he stood. That isn't something that just comes. That's something you got to exercise. You better exercise faith in your King now. You better exercise faith in your Redeemer now. You better realize that there's a person that walks with you and talks with you. You better realize that there's a person that has walked the weary mile. You better realize that there's a person that loves you and cares about you enough to send his only begotten son to die for you. A person that has loved you and possessed your reins since you were formed in your mother's womb. I got to believe that he cared about you long before you were formed in your mother's womb. I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus Christ loves you so much, you better get in touch with him now, because tough times may come. And when they come and you're so insecure, you can stand right on the rock that is Jesus Christ and realize that you've got a Savior that loves you and cares about you and just maybe wants to direct your path. That you can be secure in. I thank God he's given me promises. The problem with Americans and the problem with Christians today is we forget to read what the promises are. Oh, we hear verses like, he will never leave me no more forsake thee. We hear those verses. But have those become part of you? Have you ever realized that you're walking with the King? Have you ever realized that this is a promise from God, not from preacher? This is a promise from God, not from some Pentecostal. This is a promise from God. This is a promise from God. The promise from God says, I'll never leave you. I change not. I cannot lie. That gives us this promise written in stone that you can be secure in. Romans chapter 8. Isn't the Bible good? Romans chapter 8, if you can't find it, it's right next to Romans chapter 9. Look at this now. Well, this old world's going crazy, Brother Coolidge. This old world's going crazy. How's a Christian going to make it? Romans chapter 8, verse 38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. If you got a woohoo in here, you need to use it right now. It doesn't matter if Obama or his sister's in office. We got a God that will never leave us nor forsake us. There's nothing that can take us away from the love of God. Man alive, if you're not excited this morning, you ought to get yourself a heart transplant. We sit in the insecure because we rest our faith in the things that are temporal. Well, because I drive a Chevy, it'll never break down. Let me tell you something. I had a Chevy. Piece of junk. Well, if it's a Ford, it's found on the road dead. Fix or repair daily. I got news for you. There's Fords that do just that. You can't rely. This is so good. I hope you're getting this morning. You can't rely on this world. Can you rely on the strength of your back? Ask Brother Thompson. He just hung drywall. You can't rely on the strength of your back. It goes out. You can't rely on you. You can't rely on the things of this world. A diesel motor runs for 600,000 miles and it could go out on 600,001. You can't rely on what this world's got to offer. But you can rely on the fact that the Bible gives us a promise. And that promise is there's nothing, underscored, all caps, bold print, red letters, nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Why are we so insecure? What? There's only one thing to be secure in. How do we overcome insecurity? Shift your focus, brother. How do we overcome insecurity? Look at the one that gives you promises that cannot fail. A salesman will give you a promise on a car. Oh, it'll run forever. A salesman is a what? A salesman. He's going to sell you whatever he can. And when that thing fails, you go back and say, oh, buyer, beware. With Jesus, there's no buyer, beware. Buyer, be saved. Glory to God. Buyer's got a home in heaven. that he's preparing for you. Rent free. No mortgage. Glory to God. The payment was paid by the homeowner. That's good. I don't care who you are. That's good right there. Not only do you need to understand the purpose of God, not only do you need to understand the promise of God, you need to understand the passion of your God. Look at Romans chapter 5. Preacher, am I allowed to teach Romans?
Yes.
All right, Romans chapter 5. Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's you, and that's me. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Every once in a while, you'll see somebody that'll die for a righteous man. You will. I believe your pastor would die for some of you. I really do. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Our veterans died for our country.
Yes.
You're part of that country. I would to God we remember that today.
Yeah.
But God, you weren't good, you weren't righteous, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes.
You've got a creator that gave you a purpose. You've got a creator that gave you a promise. You've got a creator that's got a passion for you. That passion is for lost sinners. And I thank God I am one. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You've got a Christ that's got a passion for lost souls. There's one thing you can be secure in, my friend. There's lost people. There's one thing you can be secure in. Christ's passion was to die for them. So when you consider what your purpose is, I would submit to you that you ought to include in your package soul winning. You ought to include in your package, and I want you to think with me for just 1 minute. How did you get here? I'm not talking about your vehicle. I'm not talking about walking. I'm talking about how did you get here, not physically. How did you get here? If you think with me, someone along the line had to look at you and realize that Christ had a passion for you. Somewhere along the line, you had to come to the realization that somebody cared about you and loved you enough to do what we so seldom do. Somebody cared about me. Somebody cared about lost souls enough to go and build a church down on Galena Street. Following what Christ had told him and called him to do. Obedience. Obedience by one man got me saved. I realize you got to go up his family tree. There was obedience of many men that led him. You got to understand something. There's a heritage that has been passed down to us called telling people about your Savior's passion. Don't let it stop with you. We had a passion for me, but do I have a passion for the next person? Somebody called Ron Brown had a passion enough to tell a little boy, 11 years old, about a Savior that loves him. Told me about hell, scared me to death.
Amen.
Hell ought to scare you to death.
Yes, it should.
He says, son, you need to be saved. I said, you're right. I walked up and got saved in front of that old green register. He paid $110 for the storefront. Listen to me. You look at me and you listen to me. I came to a realization at 11 years old that I needed a Savior. I came to a realization much later in my life that that Savior needed me. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
That Savior. Savior needs you enough where he decided to fearfully and wonderfully make you. He decided that he had a purpose for you. He decided to give you a few promises that you can hold on to through this old insecure life, to give us great security, to realize that we're here for a reason. And that reason is more than just making GM go forward. That whole reason is more than building hospitals and making them look nice. That reason is more than just teaching a Sunday school class. Glory to God, we've been brought here to tell about his passion for lost souls. Man, that's good preaching this morning. Thank you, brother. Turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 3. I'm moving as fast as I can. If that bell rings, we'll see what we're going to do then. Preacher will probably tackle me. He looks like he wants to preach this morning. I'm going to move as fast as I can. Acts chapter 1. Glory to God. Oh, it's so good. Verse 3. To whom also he showed himself. Did he show himself dead? He showed himself alive. He showed himself alive after his passion. What was his passion? To save lost folk. If he doesn't show himself alive, what do we have to believe in? Come on now. What do we have to believe in if Jesus is dead? He showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining, glory to God, to the kingdom of God, where you're headed to someday if you know him as Savior. We must understand the purpose of God. We must understand the promise of God. We must understand the passion of God. And last, we must understand the provision of God. Look at 2 Peter, and I'm all done. 2 Peter, I'm sorry, preacher, 2 Peter. You need to see this now. Christian, you need to see this. Well, I don't have as much money as somebody else. Why don't we come to grips with the fact that God gave you what you're supposed to have? Come on now. Look what the Bible says. According, verse 3, in 2 Peter 1, according as his divine power, that's pretty impressive power, would you say? Yes. Divine power, that's God's power. Yep. According as his divine power hath given unto us, how much? All things that pertain unto life, not only life, and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped, oh, listen to this now, glory to God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. If you want to get out of insecurity, if you want to get out of the bad things in this world, glory to God, you got a way to escape. Seek out your Savior. Woo, that's good preaching. Man alive, I don't know how to figure out the bills. Well, you shouldn't have made the bills. Right. Hey, listen, God didn't give me a credit card. God gave me what I need to have. I just didn't recognize it. Oh, this is good now. Yes. Why are we so insecure? Why are we depressed? Because we're not happy and satisfied with the divine nature. Oh, man, Christian, if you want to get out of depression and insecurity, you realize that God has a promise for you. If you want to get out of insecurity and depression, glory to God, you realize that God has a passion for you. We spend our lives sacrificing what God has given us for the lust and corruption of this world. I just have to challenge you. You want to get out of insecurity? Turn your eyes upon Jesus and realize that those eyes have always been looking at you. Remember what I said? The thoughts of him toward you are greater in number than the sand of the sea. I don't think about my kids that much. I don't think about my wife that much. But glory to God, I've got a Savior that's promised me. He promised me. He thinks of me all the time. If you'll hold on, if you'll hold on to those things that I've told you about today, that's the only thing we can be secure in. You want to get rid of insecurity? Look for the cure for insecurity. And you'll find that cure. We can be cured of it if we'll look to the purpose. You'll be rid of insecurity if you'll understand His promise. You'll be rid of insecurity if you understand His passion. And you'll definitely be rid of insecurity if you trust His provision. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank You. I thank You, Lord, that You've given us the one security that matters the most, and that's eternal security. Lord, there's nothing I can do that'll separate me from You. There's nothing I can do. John 10 says that You hold me in Your hand, and nothing, no man shall pluck You out of Your hand. But You don't stop there. Your daddy puts His hand over the top. And no man shall pluck You out of Your Father's hand. That's two hands, all God's hands. And I got to be honest with you, I don't think we're breaking that apart. And no man even includes me. And I got to believe You tie those hands together with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I thank You that I can be secure in You. Lord, I pray that depression in this church would cease. I pray that we would grab a hold of who You are and make You so very real in our lives. Lord, as always, my prayer, anoint my pastor. God, let these people be praying for a blessing this morning. Lord, speak through him. Lord, we need him to speak. He's our shepherd. Lord, please anoint his lips to say exactly what he'd have to say. Oh, God, be with these people today. I'm so thankful for the visitors. But, Lord, I'm even more thankful that You visited this morning. Lord, please be with us today in a special way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.